just so much crazy. It's a news quarter to me. Oh, good morning. It is Thursday morning. Thursday morning. May 12th. 9:23. Almost 9:24. Actually, 9:24 right now. On this fine Thursday morning here in northern Indiana. That's where I'm at. Tomorrow, I will be in Atlanta, Georgia again. I'll be there for about a week. Have you got your t-shirts yet? Have you bought? Oh my! I bought doubled over laughing this morning when I heard this. I was listening to a little clip of Maria Bartiromo. I think I don't know how to pronounce her name. Bartiromo. And she was talking about this. Biden's blaming everything on Trump. This ultra MAGA crowd, this ultra MAGA are my ultra MAGA predecessor, the MAGA king, he's calling him. I think he thinks this is getting him some points. I'm not sure what his thinking is here. This is kind of like Hillary saying, you know, half of Trump supporters could be, you know, they're racist, homophobic, misogynist. Well, this was this whole basket of deplorables thing. That kind of backfired on her. That just made people double down. You just don't. If you're trying to win people over and trying to win hearts and minds, you don't start doing this stuff. You create a further divide. You create a. It's disrespectful, for one thing. You lose the independence when you do this. They don't like this at all. They don't like that kind of crap. Majority of them, they don't like that. And especially when... I'm sorry, I'm still thinking about this whole t-shirt thing. The whole thing with... We had inflation at like 1.4% or something, which is lower than what the Fed likes it to be. The Fed doesn't like it at all. They like to take that 2%. They like keeping it right around 2%. 2.2 right in there. Because when you make money out of nothing and the money starts becoming worth less, that means you can print more of it. It's push the lendee into deeper debt. It makes it harder to pay off because the dollar's worth less. I really have nothing to talk about this morning. I've got other than what's in my cup. I've decided to do the iced chai thing this morning. I went with the iced chai. Only because it was 94 degrees out yesterday. Just last week it was 40 degrees outside, and now it's 94 and the humidity, I guess it's supposed to be a little bit, it's supposed to be a warm day, but the humidity is not supposed to be nearly as bad. Now, I worked on my boat last night, actually. That's why I didn't have a show last night. Yesterday kind of fell apart. I had a much longer meeting in the afternoon than I had planned on, intended on having, and that I thought I would have. And because of that, everything else kind of got snowballed. Didn't get as much done before the meeting as I wanted to do because of this show. This crazy show got in my way. You people and having to have this show all the time, because you'll start protesting outside my house if I don't put the show out there. So I have an iced chai latte. I put some creamer, heavily creamed. Can you hear the ice tinkle? Can you hear the ice tinkling in my glass? It's good, very refreshing. Now, my house is air conditioning. It has very good air conditioner. Just put a new air conditioner in a couple years ago. I guess it's been 3 or 4 years ago now. And it works very well. Very happy with it. It's a Daikin. Works great. It's a system. We used to have a heat pump. And that lasted as long as any heat pump has ever lasted in the world. I think it broke records. I think it was manufactured in 1970 something. I don't know when the house was built. Yeah, the house is 50 years old now, believe it or not. They don't make houses. First house we lived in for about 13 years, and it was actually a house that was over 100 years old when we bought it. It was a good, solid, native lumber house. When they talk about native lumber, what that means, in this area, you'll hear native lumber a lot. This is all native lumber planking. The reason that native lumber is so, well, it's sought after now. This area was nothing but maple and oak. And you're talking, there was a lot of walnut in this area. So we're talking hardwoods. They were building houses out of hardwood. Wood that's very expensive now. You wouldn't dare do that now. Your house would be, just the framing of the house would be ridiculous. And so you're going to drive a nail in it. It's like, you know, you can't, the nail just bends. Can't do anything with it. They had to use special forged nails to get the job done. It's amazing. Now this house was not native lumber. This was a stick-built pine-framed walkout basement house. However, it was very well made. It was a very, very well made house. Wasn't a prefab or anything. It was done very well. For the most part, I mean, it's laid out pretty well. I've enjoyed the way this thing's been built, just the layout and everything. It's got a great room. It's got a patio that we enclosed. I enclosed it. Picked up some windows at an auction and just closed the whole thing in. It was a screened-in porch. You know, we had a pool, but the pool's in a mess. It needs to be fixed. And a quandary about whether or not to just cover it up, just get rid of it altogether. Which will cost about as much as it will to fix it. Problem with fixing it is then I have to keep maintaining it. If I get rid of it, I'm done. No more. Nothing else to do but mow the grass where it's left. And I was actually considering doing that and then putting in an above-ground endless pool. That's really what I'm thinking about. I don't necessarily play in the pool. I mean, if I had kids, the regular pool would be great, because when we had their nephews here and they were little kids and we'd have them over a couple times a year and people would show up and people would play in the pool. That was great. They loved doing it all day long. Sharks and minnows, all this stuff. But we don't do that anymore. They're all grown up and they're too cool for the pool. So if we had an endless pool, I would actually use it because I would get in there and just swim. Exercise. So I'm kind of considering that. And if we get a good deal on one, I might just step out there somewhere. But of course, the cost of the endless pool is about the same. The estimates I've gotten anyway on actually doing it right, getting rid of your pool and getting it, you know, all taken out, backfilled and all that stuff, would cost about the same as an endless pool. So maybe I'll just get the endless pool and put it down in there in the hole where the pool is. I don't know. We use vinyl liners in this area. It's not a cement pool. Some people have cement pools. We don't have it. We've got a vinyl liner pool. And we had a major blowout on one side. And to fix it would cost about as much. Now, to me, it just looks like they just needed to back dig it and press it back out again and put some steel in and fill it back up again. It seems like it would take about four grand. Seems like it'd be a reasonable fee for that. They want 10, of course. That was before all the problems. That was before COVID. It's probably 20 now. Speaking of, I told you what was on a cup. I've covered the cup, right? Okay, so that's out of the way. A couple things that are on my mind this morning, and I'll start off with the funny thing because this just had me doubled over. I don't know why it just hit me. I think just the way it was said, Maria Bartiromo just kind of mentioned it, she was on this roll talking, you know, she just kind of machine guns through her topics. She doesn't really mince words, doesn't mess around. She just kind of hits the topic and keeps going. And she was, you know, they were talking about the Biden inflation and the Biden deficit, how it has just, you know, exploded. And they're blaming COVID for all this stuff. And they're blaming And Matt Walsh made a very good point yesterday. Now, they're blaming all this spending and all the supply shortages and everything else that's going on. They're blaming it all on COVID. Now, it's not the fault of COVID. It's the fault of the response we had to COVID. COVID didn't cause this stuff. It was the shutting down of the country, the shutting down of the economy, and the response and the policies that we've had in response to COVID. People made this stuff happen. So it's the reason we have a shortage in baby formula, which I do not understand that. I guess I don't know enough about how baby formula is made. My understanding at one time, this was pre-COVID, my understanding was that a lot of our baby formula came from China. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. That scares the daylights out of me. Why in the world would we trust them to do such a thing? Speaking of China and the COVID issue, I'm going to be rambling. I'm going to be off on bunny trails all morning. So just buckle up. Buckle up, dude, because this is going to be a wild ride. We have, apparently, they've done some testing, and this is preliminary. I want to make this very clear that I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not an epidemiologist, I'm not a financial counselor, I'm not a psychologist or psychiatrist, I'm not a life coach, I'm not a BOGO expert. I'm just a guy with a microphone with a bunch of opinions that I spit out all over the microphone, and you pick it up on your end, apparently through a speaker of some sort. It's all magic to me. I don't know. I don't understand how it all works. Something to do with electrons bouncing around. I don't know. Some crazy thing. So we have this stuff going on. What happens is, I don't know where I was going with this. They took this, they had this study where they went crazy. They started injecting something to do with a liver thing that they were studying with the vaccines, the mRNA vaccines. The J&J now has proven to be kind of a problem. Some places, some countries have actually outlawed it. They banned it. And there are some others that are shutting it down. And my understanding now is that they're not, even in the U.S., they're not going to allow J&J vaccine to be used anymore. They're phasing it out because of issues. Gee, too bad we didn't do any studies on this thing before we started shooting them out there, putting them and sticking them in people's arms. I think we're just scratching the surface of how this thing's going to go. But I really truly hope I'm wrong. But I fear that we may be headed for something later on. Now here's the deal. They have done some kind of study with the mRNA vaccine concerning liver issues. And apparently, the way it reacted in the liver was it did something with the DNA. Now, of course, someone asked Fauci this question. Does the mRNA vaccine change your DNA? If I could have, I had a video for this program. The response that he gave to this I have no way of explaining it other than to say it looked like a teenager saying no. Just he was kind of shaking his head back and forth with this weird look on his face, like, no, 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 doesn't do that. He didn't say that way. In fact, he didn't say anything. He just shook his head and then he went on to another topic. He deflected very carefully on that one. I remember that like it was yesterday, because it was so upsetting to me to see how he responded to that. It was extremely strange, in my opinion. I've never. No. It just seemed very strange to me, the way he responded to it, and the way he wanted to move on to another topic. Now, I don't understand DNA. I'm not a DNA analogist. I don't know what that is. I'm making stuff up now. I'm not an expert on DNA, and I don't understand all this stuff. But the study itself is a little bit creepy. So, whatever's going on there. Having said that, let's get back to the issue at hand here with the t-shirts. So Maria is talking about Biden. He's making this comment. They show a clip of him doing a speech about the, you know, his predecessor, the MAGA King, something about that. He was going on about how the, I wonder if I can play this. Maybe I can find, while I'm talking about it, I'll try to find it. And he had some kind of a statement about how, I think it was the deficit that went up every year under Trump. Or maybe it was inflation that went up every year under Trump. I can't remember which it is. You have to really be careful about when he says some of this stuff. Because he literally will just flat out lie. I mean, just totally lie. Makes up numbers. He's just reading. He's reading a script. He's not in charge of anything. He just reads whatever's on the teleprompter. And when he's not, he's making stuff up or bumbling around, but trying to tell stories about when he drove truck back in the day when he drove an 18-wheeler or something. He just makes up stuff all the time. Well, I wish I could find it. I don't know where it's at. I hate to just click on something and play it and not know where it's at. I just don't see the actual one that I saw. I think what I was doing is I was watching another video, and I just saw that one kind of that came up as a suggestion, I believe. So she's talking about this thing, and she says, you know, Biden's coming out with this whole ultra MAGA word. He's labeling people ultra MAGA. Ultra MAGA. It's not just the MAGA crowd. It's those people who are really ultra MAGA. You know, those folks. He's trying to divide the MAGA crowd now. He's trying to divide Trump supporters by saying that some of them are ultra MAGA. They're just ridiculous. Kind of like the Squad might be ultra leftist, even though he follows along with everything they say. Now my dogs are barking. Not sure why. They just like to bark. They probably want a snack. Yeah, I don't know. They want something all the time. Those crazy dogs. They're like Democrats. If you haven't heard it, check on the song, My Dog's a Democrat. Help Lord, I think my dog's a Democrat. Something like that. Pretty funny song. So Monica's talking about this whole thing. You know, how Biden's trying to get some traction with this MAGA, ultra MAGA thing. So then, now I think this was Don Jr.'s idea, actually. I don't give Don Sr. the credit for this. He may well have, I mean, I'm sure he went along with it. I don't know that he's the one who actually came up with it. I'm sure somebody probably walked in the room and said, we need to make t-shirts. I'm an ultra MAGA. I'm ultra MAGA. Ultra MAGA. It's the new ultra MAGA. Sure. He came out with t-shirts. You call me a name, I'll just make a t-shirt of it. That's how good you guys are at this. Thank you for giving us this new term. Oh my gosh. Brilliant. That's the epitome of this whole thing. That's the whole point of Trump, in my opinion. This is why people vote for the guy. Establishment people would not have done that. They would have just grumbled, "Oh, you're grumbling, you're saying I'm an ultra Maori, you're vilifying me." No, he just makes a t-shirt out of it. It's just like he did with the deplorable thing. I think they made t-shirts deplorable. I'm a deplorable. Whatever. Oh, it's so funny. On with some other things that are not funny. $40 billion worth of not funny. When you start comparing, you know, they toss terms like, you know, 40 million, 40 billion, 4700 trillion, whatever. They throw these numbers out there all the time. And of course, now it's a bipartisan bill. And of course, Mitch McConnell, he called the president and they decided that they would run this through by itself because it needed to be done quickly. And all by itself. So there wasn't any politics involved. It just needs to be done quickly.
Who knows what else in this bill? It's supposedly a standalone bill for Ukraine.
Who's in control of this money? Who is going to? Who are they writing the check out to? What bank account is it going into? We have no idea. And where does it go from there? All these oligarchs. Somehow we trust oligarchs now. They were calling Trump an oligarch. That was supposed to be a bad name. That's what they're. Let's just look up here. Let's look at the definition of the word real quick. Oligarch, a member of a small governing faction, a member of an oligarchy. Well, that's really stupid. My teacher would never have allowed me to say that if I was defining a word. One of the few holding power, political power. A member of an oligarchy, one of the rulers of an oligarchical government. about choked there for a second. A member or supporter of an oligarchy. Examples of oligarchies in a sentence. Recent examples on the web. Advocates sensing their movement as pressure of oligarchy. Attorney. Yeah, this oligarchy. An oligarchy is not a good thing. That's where these rich, we have that here in a sense, and it's, that's where you have the richest people in the world are basically running the government, and they are chosen kind of by leaders, and then they hold all the purse strings. We'd call those congressmen now. And, yeah, Putin may be very rich. However, he's like the richest of the oligarchs. And there's other oligarchs that have, you know, way more money, a lot of money as well. And he can't do anything. They have a lot of control over a lot of things that go on there. It's nothing but a financial power struggle. Not a good situation for a government to have. So we're giving, basically, even though they have a president, the oligarchs control the funds. What do we know? What do we know about how the government is set up there in Ukraine? How do we know how it's set up? And it is well known to be one of the most corrupt governments in the world. Democrats hated Ukraine before the war. They were all knee deep, if you're standing on your head, into the corruption that was there. Tucker Carlson went on a scathing report about this whole $40 billion thing and how we had to get it to them quickly. All to a country and to oligarchs and companies that happened to be doing business with Joe Biden before he became president. How convenient. Nothing shady to see here. There will be no accountability of this $40 billion. That is, and $40 billion, he lays it all out. He compares this that amount of money. Because we have to do it for them to win the war. Now, you want to talk about, we may not be sending soldiers and that kind of thing. We're doing everything but that.
I would expect at any moment, if I was Putin right now, and you were sending $40 billion, which I think is more money. My understanding is it's more money than the general standing army in Russia is budgeted for an entire year. It's almost as much as Elon Musk paid for Twitter. And everybody's, you know, enraged about that. That's probably the magic number. I mean, where do we come up with $40 billion? Why not 39 or 38 or 42? Well, we just knew we needed a large number. That's the way they throw this stuff around. They've actually made those kinds of comments. And they were talking about Obamacare. They talked about something about $700 billion or whatever they needed. Well, we need $700 billion. We just need a large number. We didn't know how much it was going to cost. We just knew it was going to be a large number. So we just threw it out there. Where does all the extra billions go? We had a couple extra billion left over that we knew. No, because we just got a little too much in the tank there. So where does that spill over to? Where does that go to? Well, gee, I wonder why there's organizations that are so well-funded, these NGOs, these non-government organizations, that are somehow really well-funded, that have all this money that they can just spend and hand out money to all these mules who cart around ballots in the middle of the night, getting paid $10 or $20 a ballot. I wonder where all that money's coming from. Gee, I wonder how Mark Zuckerberg from Facebook just happens to come up with the money to provide ballot drop boxes in specific states and specific areas. I just want to help out the voting process. I'm just going to do my part to help people get out to vote in certain areas, demographics, and particular ways of doing it. I'm going to get a t-shirt, Joe Biden's picture on it. Joe Biden, America's first mail order president. Yeah. I think we're headed for some bad times right now. I mean, if giving $40 billion to Ukraine is not considered as an act of war from the Russians, this is directly coming from our country. It's not like we're involved with a coalition of countries. This is directly coming from our country. We're poking the stick in his eye right here doing this. And what happens to all that money? If Ukraine ends up falling, where'd all the money go? I guarantee you because we're paying this to people. This is going in people's bank accounts. And we're just expecting them to do the right thing with it. Now, you know, we gave a lot of money to the leader of Afghanistan. One of the reasons I think Afghanistan fell so quickly was because the leader left, packed up like $150 million, got on a plane and left, or helicopter, however he got out of town. He flew out of town somehow. Your president abandons the country. Okay, you guys are on your own. That does something to the country, does something to the will to push back against any kind of, to do anything. It was just stupid. I have to hand it to Zelensky. He has hung on to this whole thing. And I think if he would have left initially, he was offered an opportunity to get out. I think the U.S. was not on board with him even fighting back against Russia at that time. Now, they have pushed back. And I have a new theory about this because I'm trying to figure out. I'm just trying to reconcile in my head how Putin would want to go in and destroy a country, literally take out its infrastructure, take out all of its productivity. Why would you do that and then want to stay there? I don't believe he wants to stay there. I don't believe he wants to make friends and try to win hearts and minds there in Ukraine. He literally just wants to go in and raise everything, not as in, not in, you know, like you would raise a set after a play. You just level it. Just utterly destroy it. Push it back into the Stone Age. And of course, all the nations of the world were going to stand up and help rebuild, you know, Ukraine. Which puts a financial strain on the rest of the world. That's money we can't spend on defense, money we can't spend on things that we should be spending money on. That $40 billion, all of a sudden, you know, they want Elon Musk to solve world hunger. He could have solved world hunger with $44 billion. Well, if that's all it takes to solve world hunger, then let's do it. Problem is, that won't solve it. Believe it or not, $44 billion will not solve world hunger. There are about 7 billion, a little over 7 billion people on the planet. Give them each a dollar a day and see how many days that lasts with $44 billion. Do the math on that. About, what is that, about 6 days? A little bit more. 6.5. Okay, let's say you got $49 billion. Give 7 billion people a dollar a day. It'll last 7 days. But, you know, think about how little food they could eat, they could buy with that dollar. I mean, in some countries you could buy enough food to live on every day for more than enough. So, but that puts it into perspective there, doesn't it? The magnitude of the issue. I digress. I do that a lot. I digress a lot. I'll move on to... Oh, possible. No, other topics, other subjects. Let's move on again to the... well, first of all, I think Jen, but circle back, is... I think she has... I think this is her last week, or maybe she's moved on already. We have a new Jean-Pierre, whatever. I don't know whatever her name is. I don't know. Boy, Tucker laid into her, too. Interesting to hear Tucker talk these days. I don't know what's going on with him. I'm surprised, actually, that Fox allows him to be so candid. And maybe he's on thin ice and he's just doubling down. I don't know. But he's been ferocious. And, of course, that just causes his ratings to go up. I know that there's people, leftists hate the guy. Oh, he's just, you know, he's so stiff and he's so this or that. He's just so... No, I don't think you get it. He's had Jimmy Dore on his show. Again, this comes back to let's talk about things. Let's have a discussion without screeching at each other, calling each other names. Elizabeth Warren apparently is coming out. She's kind of one coming out now, and she's making a name for herself. Now, they hired Kamala. How ridiculous is this? Kamala is the most ridiculous person on the planet. She comes out and she goes, "How dare they? How dare they?" And then she'll make a little statement. Then she'll say, "How dare they? How dare they tell a woman what she can do with a... How dare they?" What you're doing is you're filling space. When you use words like that, when you just repeat yourself over and over, you're not saying anything. There's no substance to what you're saying. You're just, and I tell you what, she has nailed the general speech pattern that Obama used to use. She has studied his cadence. His delivery, she sounds a lot like Obama if you pay attention to what she's saying, how she's saying it. Actually, what she says, she has an even less. Obama didn't have a whole lot of substance, but she has even less. But she's able to deliver it in the same way. So it's very disheartening. I mean, when you stop and think about the position we're in, the situation that we're in here, she basically is in line to become the president. Now, my understanding is Congress has to sign off on it. If something were to happen to Joe, she is the enacting president initially. She's by default becomes president. However, she does not remain president until, like if Joe were to pass away or be incapacitated more than he already is. I don't know who sets that bar, but apparently it's pretty low for him. Now, this brings up a point that I think I'm just not sure how this will play out. I know I've talked about this before. The Republicans are going to come into office. Possibly sweeping, they're going to sweep the House. We know we're going to take back the House. As for the Senate, it's not sure. However, it looks like, if I had to wager on it right at this moment, with all things being fair, it'll be a landslide. House and Senate will be gone for the Democrats. And I think that they kind of know that. Which, you know, there's something in Scripture about how the enemy begins to act out even more forcefully because he knows his time is short. That's kind of a desperate reaction of desperation typically happens when the people know that their time is short. I think that they know that time is short and they're acting out in desperation. They're willing to do whatever they have to do to maintain power because they feel like they are at the teetering. If they lose power, we've lost the country. They believe they are the country. That's why. When you have to understand their mindset here. They're all about democracy when they're the ones in charge of it. When they control the democracy. When the people decide on something. Oh, that's terrible. Well, our nation has become a nation of nothing but racists. They're all ultra MAGA now. You don't want to associate with them. That's what they do. They pit you against the enemy. Well, you're siding with all the racists, with the ultra MAGA deplorables. Now, here's what's going to happen, and here's where the problem comes in, and this is where they will play this like a fiddle. By the way, for 2 years, Republicans will step in. They will fiscally manage things, hopefully a little bit better. I'm not saying correctly. I'm just saying a little better. The economy will come back. The inflation will stop. They'll have some, at least temperance. I think McConnell needs to go. Kevin McCarthy has no business at all being Speaker of the House. None. I fear for the Republican Party if Kevin McCarthy steps in as Speaker of the House. And I don't even think the people who are there. I don't think my representatives understand it. Understand the danger this man is to the republic, to the country, because the Republican Party is the only thing holding our republic as it stands intact. Academia is doing everything it can to attack the Constitution and the founding principles. Everything. They would like to dissolve the whole thing and rewrite it. Because they hate it. This is the reason we haven't passed it on. Very few other countries in the world have ever, even when they've gone through a huge change in their governmental structure, they've never adopted our Constitution. They've adopted some principles from it. Canada, for instance, is very similar. But they had rights taken away during COVID. They've had their gun rights taken away because they weren't solidified in their constitution the way ours is. Freedom of speech, freedom of religion, some of those kinds of things are not spelled out exactly the way they are in our constitution, which gave us, because they were not based on individual liberties. They were based on a top-down governmental rights system. You are not a free person. You might feel like, oh, this is great. It is not. My concern is that the Republicans will take over House and the Senate. The nation will stabilize to some degree. We will have some semblance of economic relief. And in the process of doing all this, it will make Joe Biden look better. People won't give credit to the Congress. They'll give credit to Joe Biden. Of course, he'll just say, well, the Congress, it's a do-nothing Congress. They just keep stopping everything that we want to do. That's what they're supposed to be doing. They're supposed to be stopping all these crazy things you want to do. And I don't understand why the Republicans don't get a grip, man up, and just do what needs to be done here. Man up, woman up, whatever. Step up and do what needs to be done. It's at a point where it would almost well, I just don't know what's going to happen. It's the whole thing here. I think that before the election, there's so many things that can happen. One is the Durham thing, the Durham investigation. I have the feeling that probably by August, September, October, right in that area. I think September, October, probably we're going to start seeing some things coming out from the Durham investigation. Probably going to be wrapping it up right before the election, I'm guessing. He may try to carry it out beyond the election just so he can say, I did not want to influence the election. However, things that he's doing right now are going to influence the election, I guarantee you. The whole Sussman issue, some of the other things that are going on. There is a serious report that has been obtained by an organization about the internal communications that were going on with the FBI. If you've had a chance to listen to Facts Matter on YouTube, I would strongly encourage you to listen to that. Roman Bakalmov, I can't ever pronounce his name. I can look at it and pronounce it, but when I don't have it in front of me, I can't pronounce it. Balmakov? I think it's Balmakov. I don't know. He had a really good report last night on his show, and it was the thing that he talked about was very clearly the whole thing that happened between that was going on behind the FBI and how the FBI continued to double down, even though they knew full well that the dossier, for one thing, was a hoax. They did not come clean with the DOJ when the DOJ was asking them questions. And unfortunately, Bill Barr just trusted the FBI. When Trump came out and said, "They're wiretapping me," but he meant they're spying on me. They're surveilling me. Of course, the media just came out and said, "Well, they don't do wiretaps anymore. No, we don't do wiretaps. That's an old archaic. We're not spying. They're not spying on people. We don't spy on people." They surveil them. What are we going to call it? Of course, Bill Barr came out and said, well, spying is the best word because it covers everything. It's It's the most generic word that describes all that kind of stuff. But the fact they were into semantics to try to ignore the fact that, yes, they were surveilling the president prior to taking office, prior to the election, even after he was in the Oval Office, even after he took the oath of office. Now, this is something I think that has to be addressed. Because obviously the powers that be, the FBI, they need to clean house. In the upper ranks, that just needs to be gone. They just need to start over again. And I don't know how you do that in putting people that you can trust that aren't going to be partisan. The one thing that we always depended on in this country was that the FBI and the CIA were not partisan. They were just organizations that developed intelligence. They had no agenda. You know, according to what, you know, that was the perception anyway we had. They just gathered the intelligence in our. There was a whole, you know, bunch of people that made the decisions on how we were going to act on that intelligence. That's not the way it works anymore. All the money that's floating around out there, and the kind of power that people have with it. And you know what I've told you about money and power are the two elixirs that people get hooked on. It's very addictive for some people. But the FBI was going crazy when they found, they didn't know what Trump knew. That was the problem. They were like, well, we don't know how much he knows or what he knows. So they freaked out about it. How does he know we're spying on him? And what does he know about what we know? That he knows, that we all should know. So the question here then is, how do we move forward with it? If this can be done to a president, how do we keep this from happening again? Now, personally, I think the Secret Service, and I don't know how the Secret Service interacts with the FBI and the CIA and the NSA and all the other companies that are out, you know, things that are out there. Personally, I think the Secret Service, all the president's men, as you would say, need to be an exclusive group of their own, simply there to protect the president, period. If they have any communication, intelligence, any financial issues with or under the table deals with any other organization, it should be considered treason and they should be put in jail for the rest of their lives. The president should have the ability to protect himself, and they should be the ones that do it. All the technical skills, military might, whatever it is that they need to protect the president. I don't care if it's Joe Biden or whoever it is. I don't want the FBI spying on Joe Biden. Because if the FBI can do it, then anybody can do it. That is an office that needs to be protected, period. And there has to be an organization around him that is solely devoted to that one thing. So they can go around and check the phones. They can go around and check the communications devices. They can go around and check all this stuff, constantly being under surveillance in terms of to make sure that nobody else from the exterior is surveilling them. That kind of protection needs to happen for the president and the office of the president. Because I just think that that's what Trump experienced. I think Trump thought he was going to step in and he was going to make friends with everybody. Not that he's motivated by making friends. I think he's a good negotiator, no question about it. But these people you can't come to a negotiating table with someone who already has a presupposed idea of who you are and what you're about. It's very, very hard to change the minds of an individual who thinks you're a racist, bigot, misogynist. It's very difficult to negotiate with that person. And yet that's what he intended to do. Now I think that the very first time he that first omnibus bill or whatever it was that he signed, a huge amount of spending money, He even said right after he signed it, this is not going to happen again. He was offering them an opportunity to negotiate. I'm doing this for you. I'm doing this in good faith, passing this huge bill with the intent of now you're going to reciprocate and help me build the wall. And all they did was throw a tantrum. We're not going to do that. We got what we want. We're not going to do. Because you're, I don't think he realized he wasn't dealing with adults here. He's dealing with 12-year-olds who've gotten away with being 12-year-olds for the last 50 years in Congress, stomping around and getting their way and parading around in front of the cameras, calling people names and getting away with it, breaking laws, doing all kinds of things under the table. Their entire network of people that they have working for them is all there just to pad their wallets, to get their way, to push a political narrative and agenda. It's not about doing what's right for the people of the country. They when they read in the Constitution the rights of the people, they think they are the people. They think they are the government. They do not understand that the people, the government is for, of, and by the people. They aren't the people. They're just there to represent the people. And that's where we lose touch with everything that's going on in government. Now, I saw MSNBC again today. A couple of the headlines. One of the very first headlines I saw was that they were saying something about Trump. This one lady was saying that Trump, that there's a potential for a bribery scheme under Trump. Here we go again. It was MSNBC. And again, they do the same thing. They're just continuing to go off on this hysterical bent. And they keep setting themselves up for ridiculous failure after failure after failure. How many times? I'm trying to figure out who listens to them anymore. This stuff just bubbles over nonstop. And yet there's never an end. They just move on to the next story. When they figure out that they're wrong on that one, they just move on to the next one. The walls have been closing in on Donald Trump for the last 5 years. He's at the end of his rope. They're almost ready to nab him. He's going to go to prison tomorrow. It's one thing after another with them. Who continues to listen to this stuff? Because they've obviously been wrong about everything. Court cases get thrown out, turned down, rejected. Prosecutors walking off the cases because they're just ridiculous. And they actually wanted to get the guy. And now we have a DOJ who does the bidding for this particular administration. There's never, you know, you never hear the news media talk about, well, Merrick Garland is just, he's just Biden's guy. He's just a puppet of Biden, of the administration, of the left, the leftists. You don't ever hear that. But you look at the results, and I've told you this many times. I know I've said it probably too many times. Merrick Garland is, he does a lot of, he's a very deceptive individual. I typically equate the word evil with who this guy is. He may come across, though. You may think he sounds like a nice guy. He is not. I'm telling you, this guy is. And just look at what's happening right now with our Supreme Court justices. People outside their homes, yelling, screaming, vitriol, all kinds of incendiary things, threatening them. and our DOJ does nothing. They're breaking the law, an obvious federal law, and Bill Barr has even come out and stated the law. People have done analysis, read the law, very clearly states it's there's no question. You can't read the law, and it's very plain English. You cannot intimidate a judge in making a decision of in any way. And that's what they're doing. That's exactly what they're doing. And the White House has put their seal of approval on it. And the DOJ is completely nothing. Just the only thing that you will hear from the DOJ is... Yeah, I actually found that little button. I forgot I had all those buttons over here. I do have some entertaining value in this little box I've got here. One of the things that, well, like when Nancy Pelosi enters the room. Morning. It's Sunday morning. Yeah. I have a, just to give you an idea, I've got to cut the short here because I, the show short, I can speak. I really can. People pay me money to speak sometimes. Yesterday I had a job. In fact, people paid me just to say some things. It just blows my mind. I'm not sure, you know, what that's all about. How did I stumble into that? It's like the perfect job for me. Here, talk for a while, and we'll pay you a bunch of money. Okay, well, what? There you go, there's your check. What? I didn't even say anything. What? That's, there you go, that's all we wanted. Okay, whatever. Heck of a deal. So I have tomorrow morning, there will be a show, but it will be very early if I can get up in time. I usually have a tendency to, first night when I get into, like, especially when I settle into Atlanta, my first morning is typically a little bit, I have a hard time getting up. Normally I try to get up and work out. If I'm in Appleton, this is for instance, the hotel that I stay at in Appleton, it's just the perfect setup. I get up. I go down, I do my cardio. I walk over to this little nook that they've got there, and there's breakfast. Eggs and bacon and sausage and potatoes, muffins, orange juice, milk. Sometimes biscuits and gravy. I just slam it all down. I do a show, and then I go off to work. Go off to do my thing for a little while, for a few hours. Come back in the afternoon, do some weight work. Some weights. Weight training stuff, isolation exercises, keep the old body toned up a little bit so I got some, so if I fall down, it'll break a hip. And then I go from there, I usually take a nap, get up and eat some supper, and, or I'll just eat supper and then take a nap. It's one way or the other. Usually I take a nap and go eat supper and kind of mess around, do some things, work on some things, and then watch the evening news. Get up the next morning, do the same thing all over again. I after a week of doing that, I actually feel physically pretty good. I'm exhausted, but I feel pretty good. Atlanta is not that way. I go to Atlanta. First of all, there's no free breakfast there. And so I have to kind of finagle that around. Sometimes McDonald's is the only thing open in the morning, unless I want to pay $25 for breakfast. And they don't always, they're supposed to open at 7, but they don't always do that. And of course, I try to be over to my other little side gig over there about 8 o'clock. Sometimes I have to go over earlier. And of course, but if I'm trying to do that, then I'm sitting there waiting at McDonald's for my order. I don't have a car when I'm down there. I just walk around, which is another issue. Do my thing, and then I go back to the hotel, and then it's harder for me to get up there at that hotel and just to do anything. They have a nice gym there, but then there's no free breakfast right afterwards, so you have to kind of finagle that. I like to eat right after I eat breakfast, or right after I work out. I can't do that there. I have to figure out what I'm going to do, take a shower, go someplace, get something to eat. Life is really tough. These are first world issues. Make sure my cell phone's charged up. It's a really rough life. It's a very rough life. Just saying. But Yeah. So woe is me, I guess. That's, I guess that's the, yeah, life is tough. Yeah. Suck it up, buttercup. Basically, that's, I wish I, should, that's what I need is a button that I can just push and say that it says, suck it up, buttercup. Somebody needs to say it. Not other than me, because I, it would just be me saying it. I could just say it right now. It's the same, it'd be the same thing. So I have to come up with a way to do that. Regardless of all that, the show is coming to an end here. And I do want to thank you all for listening to my ranting on for the last few minutes. Hour, I guess it's been. More than a few. We're in for some interesting times ahead as we press into the election cycle. I think it's very important for us to be awake. Not woke, but awake and aware of what's going on around us. Politically, spiritually, financially, in every way possible, we are not caught unaware of what's coming on the planet. I really do believe that the situation in Ukraine is building into some serious things. And I think that I think we're going to make it through this. We keep praying for each other, caring for each other. Take care, everybody. God bless.